my name's Kim, and I'm a teacher, and I wanted to make this tape to those of you that are teachers, and I wanted to share with you some ideas of how you can teach about Jesus Christ in your classroom, even though you may teach in a public school. My background is from a basically Christian home. However, I really didn't have a knowledge of the Lordship of Jesus until my husband came home about 5 years ago and said, "We have to say the sinner's prayer." And I did, and the Lord became the Lord of my life. And from then on, we had a very special relationship in our marriage and a relationship with Him, and He's changed our life so much and has blessed it so much. I've been teaching about 8 years now, and 7 of those 8 years, I've been in a classroom called Munchkin Land. My teammate and I started it 7 years ago, and we wanted to create a classroom environment that was like Disneyland, so that when the children came to school, they loved school, so that when they could come and be inspired by those things around them, they would learn more, and they would do more. And because of that particular environment, they have grown, and our test scores showed them that over the last 7 years, our scores became higher and higher in both reading and math. And the last 3 years, we've had the highest reading scores in the nation. And it was interesting, last summer, we had a person from Sacramento come to our classroom as we were preparing for the September school year and ask us, what was our trick? How come we had such high reading scores and math scores? And at that time, we could share the environment of our classroom, but most of all, we got to share the love that we teach to our children, and that love source comes from Jesus Christ. I wanted to make a tape today after listening to a very special speaker this morning. The man was the president of a radio station in Guatemala that was the largest radio station in the world, and it broadcast over 85% of the world today. And remember how the Lord told us to go and preach the gospel into the world. It is being preached. And in something like 46 different languages, this radio station has people from all over the world inside its walls, and it's being broadcasted everywhere, including Russia and China. And it's so exciting to know that thousands every day are accepting the Lord as their Savior. He shared with us today about being a broadcaster as a Christian, not as a radio station, but as a person, and how each of us are our own radio station, and how we can broadcast the Lord. Some of us don't broadcast Him at all, even though we may know Him. Some of us only say a little bit, and some of us have the ability to say a lot. And I encourage you today, and I pray today, that this tape will inspire you to take more time out for God's Word and to seek His knowledge and to seek His wisdom on how to witness and to share more abundantly with those around you, to be more boastful and to be stronger and to ignore the giants out there, but to cross over that Jordan River into that land of plenty and to be protected by Him. Those of you that teach in a public school, I want to share with you as Christians that the Lord can give you that opportunity to share His Word and His guidance and His love through a background from your basic history lessons. In September, I teach to the children that I am a Christian, and I teach to all of them about how to conduct themselves in a classroom with a Christian teacher. In other words, don't say anything bad and try not to do anything bad, because God is watching over all of us. It may be a scare tactic, but it works, and it's really precious because you can share with them also that Jesus loved little children. And I love my children to hug me in the morning and hug me in the afternoon when they go home, to share that love that they so desperately need. In today's world, most of my parents work. Most of them have to work because of finances, And unfortunately, they don't have that quality time with their children as they did years ago, as when I was raised, my mother never worked and was home. And it was reassuring to me to know that my mom was there when I got home and to share my problems and the things that happened during the day. And she was there for all six of us children. And it was a special time for us. And it was a protective time for us. And it was one where we didn't have those discipline problems as most other children did, where their parents did work. And they felt like no one cared. We were reinforced positively. And unfortunately today in our classrooms, we don't have that reinforcement or support from our parents because they do work. And because they're so involved in their lives, by the time they get home, mother's cooking dinner, father has to watch the news or read the newspaper. You have dinner, the child takes their bath, does their homework, and goes to bed. So quality time isn't even there, nor let alone quantity time. And so the child never sees that relationship with a husband and wife that's so badly needed. And they don't see the unit time as a family because both parents are working. And they don't have that attention nor that motivation that, gee, you're doing a great job, keep up the good work. And so a lot of it is left on the shoulders of teachers today. You have to be that mother and father and teacher of that child. And the Lord has commissioned you as a teacher to teach His Word. And even though you are in a public school, I commend you to try and teach God's Word. In 1982, there was a Supreme Court decision that you could use the Bible as a reference, that you could teach about Easter and that you could teach about Christmas holidays. Well, knowing that, at the time I was reading a great book by Peter Marshall called The Light and the Glory, which is the history of the United States, which is also the history of the Christians that started our country. And I felt that it was important enough that I would share this book with those teachers that I know that are Christian, and I encourage any of you that are listening to this tape to read that book, The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall, because he fills you in on so many special events that happened to our country that can be taught in our teaching units from kindergarten all the way up to college. In October, I teach about Christopher Columbus. Did you know that Christopher means the guiding light, and that his mother was Christian, and that she prayed to the Holy Spirit that she would receive a son, and because of his name would be Christopher, which means guiding light, and that he prayed all the way across that Atlantic Ocean in 1492 that the Holy Spirit would guide him to the new land. And that's how our country was discovered. Even though he thought he was in India and the people he first saw were Indians, he was guided by the Lord and founded our country. Halloween is another holiday for October, and many of you, I'm sure, don't know that Halloween actually began in the 4th century as All Saints' Day. From the 1st to the 4th century, the Romans persecuted the Christians. And by the 4th century, there was a day set aside to remember those that were martyred for their belief in Jesus Christ. And that day was called All Saints' Day. By the 8th century, Pope Pius III dedicated a chapel for those that were martyred during the 1st through the 8th centuries for Jesus Christ. And eventually, the day was changed to All Hallows' Eve, to Halloween, which we called it here in the United States. So it's fairly a new holiday for Halloween. However, it began way back when the first Christians knew about the Lord and died for His name's sake. November is Thanksgiving and the time for pilgrims. And in Peter Marshall's book, he shares with us about the fact that there were pilgrims that knew Jesus and how they were anointed and blessed, and how our country was founded on the beliefs of Jesus Christ. We can teach those things in the public school, and I urge you as teachers to get references, to get books that teach about the Christianity and how our country was based. Christmas time, we teach about the birth of our Savior, and to all the children, how Jesus was born. And I urge you as teachers to do a Christmas program using the children in a special Christian way. The last 7 years, my teammate and I, in a public school, have dressed all of our children as little angels. We would choose a Mary and a Joseph and three kings every year to walk across the stage to a holy scene of baby Jesus. And because we'd have costumes with the little halos and the little angels and the wings, we were really anointed, and we ended up by always being the last ones on the Christmas program, because if we were first, everybody else would walk out. We always got standing ovations, and we were really blessed because of the fact that the very last things that people saw on the Christmas show was the true meaning of Christmas, and the Lord really blessed our classroom for it. In January, I teach the year 1982, 1983, and that's how old our Jesus is. In February and March, I teach about St. Valentine's and St. Patrick, both Christian men, both martyred for their belief in Christ. In February, there's two national holidays, Abe Lincoln and George Washington, both Christian men. And if you look up in the history books, you'll find out their basic Christian beliefs. And of course, April is Easter time and the resurrection of Christ. And so as you are teaching these units, I really emphasize that every month you can teach about Jesus Christ as a legal, historical background to our country. So you can very well be covered. If someone says to you, well, are you teaching those things that should be taught? Oh, yes, I'm teaching the history of our country. You even can have a Bible in your room, because you are allowed to have a Bible as a reference on any given campus. Remember, the Lord tells us to go and preach the gospel. To those of you that are junior high and high school teachers, you have even a greater opportunity to teach, because I teach the little ones in kindergarten, first and second grade. I have to give just the basics, but at least I can always give the basics about Jesus. But you can get more depth in upper grades and secondary schools, and as a literary teacher or historian, you can use the Bible as a reference. You can use Peter Marshall's book, and there are many other fine Christian books to teach the history of our country. And I urge you, as Christians in a public school teaching background for history and writing and journalism and English, to use Christian books as your reference. Many people say, well, how can you get away with this, and how come you haven't been caught? Well, that's easy. The Lord protects you. The very first year that I taught, when I was in my classroom, the very first week, I asked the boys and girls, how many of you go to church? And one little boy did not raise his hand, and I asked him, well, how come you don't go to church, Kenny? And he says, well, I don't know anything about God. And I asked the rest of the boys and girls, would you go home and pray for Kenny, boys and girls, and maybe he can learn about God and Jesus? And one of my other little girls popped up and said, gee, teacher, we better pray right now. It's important we pray right now. And all of a sudden, I had 30 little boys and girls with their heads bowed in my classroom, and total silence. And I thought, well, Lord, if this is what you're wanting me to do, then I pray no one walks through that door, and that you will anoint this time. And I bowed my head, and I asked the boys and girls to say the sinner's prayer after me, which they did, and they all received Christ as their Lord and Savior. My room was filled with love, and the Holy Spirit just anointed that classroom. And for 45 minutes, 5- and 6-year-olds just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. It wasn't till the bell rang that we had to go out for recess and that they had to get up, but it was something that they didn't want to do. And from that day forward, I knew the Lord wanted me in a public school. That same year, during conference time, my husband has a tape ministry, and he gave me some tapes by Bob Vernon, who is the Deputy Chief of Police of Los Angeles Police Department. Bob has some excellent tapes on delinquency, on parents, on how to raise children and teenagers. And so many of my parents, because they do work, came in to me forlorn. What am I to do with my child? I'm having disciplinary problems. Or what am I to do with my husband or my wife? parents that are having marital problems because of their working conditions, because there is no communication or no relationship in the home. And because my husband has a tape ministry, I had tapes that I could share with these parents. And I told them they were of Christian origin, but they had excellent advice on how to raise your children or how to communicate with your husband or wife. And not one of those parents rejected those tapes. And most of them returned asking for more tapes, more help in how to cope with life today. So the Lord gave me that opportunity to pass those out because they asked for them. But unless you offer it, they don't know that you have those. And on the back of the tape that you're listening to today, there is an address which you can write to, and we will send you a catalog of the tapes that we have listed in our ministry, and they are free of charge, and they're to help you spread the gospel. There's another excellent tape by Bob Beeman, who's a young man who's traveled throughout the United States, teaching about the problems of today's kids, teaching about the music that they listen to, the games that they play, and how Satan has crept in to our young people's minds. And I urge you to ask for that tape because maybe you can help those young people. I have tapes about stories of Jesus and music tapes that I pass out to my children for an Easter present or a Christmas present. And the Lord has protected me. And I know that so many of you think, oh, I don't think I could do this in my classroom. I don't think I would be allowed. But unless you take that step of faith and cross that Jordan River and not worry about the giants out there, you will see that God will protect you, that He will anoint you, and that He will allow you to do it. God is our boss. Thank goodness for that. And He will share that and protect you and let you teach the gospel and teach about our heritage in the Christian way that it was meant to be taught. He asks us to love thy God with all thy heart and mind and strength. Love thy neighbor. That also means love thy children. And as a teacher, the very most important thing next to Jesus is teaching love and teaching His love by hugging the kids or giving them that pat on the back. They need that so desperately because their parents work and don't have that time. You have to be that parent for them. So I urge you as the teacher to give that love and that extra time for that child. Even those of you that teach in Christian schools, so many times I hear the fact that those children have become so accustomed to, quote, being a Christian in a Christian family, it's become too commonplace. And they are forgetting about the importance of Jesus in their lives. And they say, oh yeah, He's there. But they're not listening and they're not really using Him. And I urge you as Christian teachers to use Jesus so freely in your classroom, to use Him in those squabbles the kids have and pray about it immediately with those, when those that can't finish their homework or those that are having problems talking. Use Jesus as the living example and Him to help those children. And how you are so fortunate and so blessed to be in a Christian school to be able to use that so freely without any problems. We as Christian teachers in public schools are to be cautious, but not to stop. I urge you as Christian teachers, don't just be so cautious that you won't do anything. It's better to do something, and the Lord will guide you at that perfect time. Remember, He gives you the opportunity, and He will knock, but it's your job to open the door and take that step of faith and take that opportunity. Teacher, to teach His word. Also, as a witness to the other teachers in your school, because of the tapes, I've tried and given the opportunity in the last 7 years that I've taught at one particular school to give them to every single teacher. And they had a choice to accept or reject. And it's interesting this year that I have been moved to another school after 3 weeks of school. And I guess the Lord said, it is finished at this 7 years at this one school and you're moving on. I've moved on to a new trial in my life. And the new trial are second graders. They're not as friendly as my little kindergartner or first graders. They're very cautious. And so I have a huge barrier to carry and to jump over this year into reaching these second graders. I'm at a school with very nice teachers, but they don't. Special things have happened to me over the last 8 years as I've taught. When I first taught the first year, I had parents that came to me and said, I couldn't afford to have my child in a Christian school, and yet the Lord delivered a Christian teacher. And they were so excited. Praise the Lord. Another incident happened with parents who came to me and said, Mrs. Wetmore, our child has changed so drastically. What has happened? My child used to be so unhappy and hated school. Now I can't get my child to stay home even if they're sick. What are you doing here? And I share with them that I teach about love and that I teach about Jesus. And many of them will come in and say, I know you teach about Christianity. That's a good thing. Can we learn about it too? And I've had sets of parents that will come every year that accept Christ because of the change in their children. So even though you as teachers think, well, am I really going to do any good? Through the witnessing that you have in your life, you can witness to those other children who will witness to their parents or their grandparents. And so the Lord has commissioned you as a teacher to teach His Word. Also, as a witness to the other teachers in your school, because of the tapes, I've tried and given the opportunity in the last 7 years that I've taught at one particular school to give them to every single teacher. And they had a choice to accept or reject. And it's interesting this year that I have been moved to another school after 3 weeks of school. And I guess the Lord said, it is finished at this 7 years at this one school and you're moving on. I've moved on to a new trial in my life, and the new trial are second graders. They're not as friendly as my little kindergartner or first graders. They're very cautious. And so I have a huge barrier to carry and to jump over this year into reaching these second graders. I'm at a school with very nice teachers, but they don't know Jesus either. There's only two Christians beside myself that I know of that's on the staff, and the rest of them really don't know Jesus. But the Lord has begun to give me new opportunities to share, new hurdles to jump, and one of them has been the fact that these children that I got are really something else. This is the first year I have had really hard problems. And my first day was an awesome day. And I came home thinking, Lord, why have you moved me out of something so beautiful for 7 years? But you know, 7 years is the time of completion. Starting on my 8th year is something new. And the Lord makes all things new, and He made a new classroom for me. Sometimes we get settled in a nice little box, and when it gets all filled up, the Lord's going to put us into a nice little ball. And when that gets filled up, He'll put us into a cylinder. So the Lord's always moving us, always challenging us. So don't get too comfortable, because you may be one of those that He wants to move and to really depend on Him. We get sometimes very complacent. And this year, I am no longer complacent, but every moment crying to the Lord, help me through this one. My first few days have been really something, and the children have really been something. I have never met so many little children that have had so many problems, are very disrespectful. They all have little walls around them. And it's so sad, because I want to love them, but boy, it's sure hard. Finally, last Friday, there was a breakthrough. I was so exasperated by the last half hour of the day, I sat down in front of my classroom and announced to them, Mrs. Wetmore has had it. I have never had an opportunity to exhort children. I never felt I was or could be one who is an exhortation. But boy, I certainly was anointed that afternoon. And I exhorted every one of my children to ask the Lord for forgiveness for their sins, for being so mean to their teacher, for being so mean to one another and for all the destruction that they had done so far the last 3 weeks of school. And it was amazing how many children were touched by the Lord, how many children bowed their head in my classroom and asked for forgiveness. And it was such a precious time because there were so many that wanted to repent of their sins. And the rest of the afternoon was glorious. And this week, I even had one little student say to me, "Mrs. Wetmore, you remember I would never get my work done? Guess what? I've been praying to God that He would help me." That was another confirmation that the Lord gave me to let me know, "Kim, I want you in this classroom. I want you to stay there to show these children that you can teach love to them. They can receive me, and they can use me to lean upon." About 75% of my children go home to either babysitters or to a preschool. Both parents work, so they have very little communication with their parents. I don't know of any Christians in my classroom, maybe one or two church-going people, but I don't think I have any born-again Christians yet. A new challenge for the year. Every year prior to this, every one of my children have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Even my little Jewish people, even my little Mormons and my little Jehovah Witnesses, the Lord has opened up so many special doors teaching them about Him. And this tape was one to encourage you as teachers. I just pray that no matter what situation you're in, if it's a primary, upper grade, or secondary teacher, in private or public school, to be boosted, to be encouraged, to get out there and preach God's gospel. Use it through the history of our beautiful country. Use it through God's Word, the Bible. But teach the gospel. Don't be afraid of those giants. The Lord will protect you. He will anoint you. He will make sure that His word is protected, that you as a Christian are protected with that armor of God, and that you can teach and preach the gospel to your children. Today at the meeting where I heard the speaker, there was a gal who was a PE teacher, and she said, "But I don't teach history, and I don't teach English." And I thought, "But oh, you've got resources, and I've got some tapes. And I have some tapes about delinquency and about the kids listening to rock music. And I have a wonderful tape by a paraplegic." And I thought, you know, there are many boys and girls who can't participate in PE because of physical handicaps or because they have broken an arm or they pulled a muscle and they can't play in a certain game, that maybe she could try giving out these tapes to those kids to give them a new direction in life, to help them over the hurdles that they cannot participate in something that they love or something that they'll never be able to participate in. So she was encouraged to the fact that maybe she could use those tapes. And I thought, gee, as a PE coach for all the student body, you would have all of the children, not just 30. She would have 300. Wow, the Lord could use her so mightily in using God's word through a tape or through a track or through encouragement. And so I really urged her and prayed that the Lord will use her in that PE coaching. I also thought, well, gee, if you're a history teacher or an English teacher or a journalism teacher, you can use the light and the glory. You can use the Bible and many other Christian materials to teach God's word and to use the history of the United States and to pull out everything that has to do with Christianity. But let's say you're in woodshop. Well, in our junior high in woodshop, they made Christmas ornaments. But instead of just making an old Santa Claus or reindeer, they made angels. And it was so special because they could make Christian ornaments. At Easter time, instead of just the bunny rabbit, they could make with woodshop the crosses. And no one seemed offended. In fact, they even brought them down to the elementary school to sell. They made napkin rings that were angels or crosses, and it was such a special time. So, as Christians teaching in a secondary school, no matter what subject you teach, you can somehow or other ask the Lord for guidance and wisdom and bring Christianity into your classroom. And I know He will protect you and give you that wisdom and give you that opportunity. Remember, He knocks, and it's your job to open that door and let Him come in. I pray now that Jesus Christ will come into your hearts to guide you as Christian teachers in a public school or in a Christian school. I pray that He will give you that opportunity to teach to all those precious little children and to those precious young adults who need you so badly, Lord. Give these teachers that strength and that wisdom and the guidance and materials that they'll need to teach your word and your background of our history in their classrooms. I thank you for this opportunity in sharing. I thank you for this morning's testimony of how we are all radios and we have that opportunity to broadcast your word. By being quiet, we're not doing much of anything, but we should go out and preach the gospel. And I pray that the persons listening to this tape will go out and preach that gospel in your name in whatever capacity they have, and that you will be their guiding light. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, and I ask all of you that are listening to ask the Lord to remind you of your commitment to preach that gospel to Him, to love thy God and thy neighbor, and love those children that you are dealing with every day. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reproduction of this tape for the sole purpose of building up the body of Christ is encouraged. For additional copies of this tape or information on other tapes that would minister to you and your friends, write to Firefighters for Christ at the address on the back side of this tape.